This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Be excited. All right. Now we have, nobody will bother us because nobody wants Lucas and Eleanor to go on early. Just so you know.
Fucked up.
All right. We're ready.
Are we restarting from the beginning?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Sorry.
That's all right. I just didn't know.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Welcome to the world famous Comedy Store podcast, guys. I'm Rick Ingram.
I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
We got two fucking legends here tonight.
We certainly do.
We got Mr. Lucas Hurl.
Good to be here.
The pride of Iowa.
Thank you.
And we got Crawfish's own Dr. Bustamante, Josh, the real deal, Martin.
My name's Josh, and I'm better than all of you.
Do you go by the real deal?
No.
Oh, okay. Just asking. I just thought.
Listen, I've given Josh a lot of nicknames.
He's given me a lot of nicknames. None of them have truly stuck.
Yeah. I've, for the most part, only ever mentioned them to you, and you never give me any sort of response.
No.
Why is that?
Busto's the only one that really ever stuck.
It stuck for you, bud. I'm not going out of my way to encourage
you. I think you need to sell merch. Dr. Bustamante.
I'm good on that.
All right, listen, Josh has a bad attitude, as you can
tell. I don't have a bad attitude.
Are you cranky?
I'm cranky.
Yeah.
I am cranky. My back is killing me right now.
Okay.
We
have massage chairs.
Want to do some yoga?
No.
Okay. Cortisone? Cocaine? What are we looking at?
How
painful?
How'd you hurt your back? Let's start there.
I played basketball earlier today.
And that's it?
With a hangover.
And my back's tight right now.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I need to stretch it out.
He's like Embiid. He's a mess.
Yep. That's my dude. That's my favorite NBA player.
Did you just make an Embiid reference?
That's KU's finest.
This is slowly becoming Punch Drunk Sports and not the Comedy Store podcast.
I'm a Philly girl. Mind your manners.
Yep.
Congrats. You're from what appears to be a very shitty city.
It's not a shitty
first of
city,
all,
but if you're going to go to
South
Philly.
Are you from New Orleans or even near
right?
there?
Yes.
Thank you.
I've been to Philly once.
What part of Louisiana are you from? Sorry, we'll get to Iowa in
a
second.
No.
Let's get to Iowa. Iowa's way easier to shit on.
Hold on, because New Orleans is probably the grossest city in America. I mean,
is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
I still have a
rash from 5 years ago
there.
Yeah.
Mexican city?
It's borderline a Mexican city.
Okay, I thought it was like borderline Mexican City, like you thought it was actually called Mexican City and not Mexico City.
Oh, no. I'm saying it is the equivalent of a city in Mexico. That's how dirty it is. Which
city?
Yeah.
Juarez, I guess?
Don't play with Rick.
It's
more of
a Cancun.
Well, first of all, it is kind of Cancun because people do get fucked up there. And people do get their kidneys stolen there.
That
was
a fact.
New Orleans is not that bad. There's way shittier cities than New Orleans.
He's shitting on Philly, but he stayed in a place called Point Breeze. Why would you stay in the Cash Project?
I'm shitting on Philly just to shit on you.
Oh.
But not...
that's completely acceptable, though.
Okay, let's be honest with
you. You're just insulting the host of the show that you're on. Then bravo, sir.
Congrats.
Take, yes.
New Orleans is not that bad, though.
It's just really gross.
No. There's way grosser cities.
Okay.
Have you ever been to Jacksonville, Florida?
Well.
That's a shithole.
Wait, hold on a second. First of all, you must not have hung out at T-Birds.
You do realize no one gets that reference.
That's
everyone that
true.
Listens,
no.
to,
everyone
I
that
get
listens
it.
To our podcast.
Everyone
it.
Loves
they love
Tommy.
Tommy. And they the, ask for more of it.
The most requested thing we get is let's get more Tommy.
Him and Earl had dueling Tommies. One of my favorite Josh Martin moments here at the world famous comedy show was you screaming at Tommy. When I say screaming.
Yeah, but he was a fucking. You guys will always shit on him. You guys will hate him. And
but
there's
I
a
would
lot of guys. But
him like
I
that.
Fucking. I have nothing bad to say about the guy.
No.
The guy has taken care of me more than any of the two of you, and a lot more than a lot of fucking
comics. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. What do you mean he took care of you more than
did
me?
He coddle
what,
you?
What, like, let's talk about all the stuff I've done for you.
What have you done for me?
I invited you to a Comedy Store podcast tonight.
Right?
No, you didn't. Eleanor did.
True. Wait a minute. True.
It was all through Eleanor.
But
we
speak
to each other.
Yeah.
Is this okay?
Relax.
Is that okay?
I did give you the nickname Dr. Bustamante, and a lot of people have said they like that.
You just gave me that a minute ago.
Okay, so there's that. And that's really all I needed.
So what else did Tommy do for you? But why did you yell at him then?
Because we're fucking artists and we are passionate about certain things. Okay?
Pearl, are you an artist?
Nothing wrong with being passionate about something.
Yeah, but I keep my shit together.
Yeah.
Did you ever yell at Tommy like that?
No, Tommy yelled at me once. And it was about Josh Martin.
Yeah. That'll happen.
Yelling happens.
Wait, what?
Well, you know, we're both bartenders, and we were...
Oh, that's right.
Which I love that you guys still work here. I do love that. I don't know why I do, but I do.
So
I think it's great.
What happened?
I'm serious.
So it was like 6 o'clock on a Friday, and I'm changing sodas. And you know how before Tommy'd get high, he'd just be agitated?
Yeah.
So...
Stephanie is on my nerves!
And also, because Tommy did so much for me, too, and
He did for all of us. We
yeah,
always say
we
that.
Do
yeah,
talk
me,
about
me,
it.
Me
we
and
do
Josh
say nice
especially,
things.
Like me and Josh probably sucked at, you know, and he
no,
stood
I
up
didn't,
for
I
us.
Didn't maybe suck. I definitely sucked, but he gave me more stage time than anyone else in the city did.
Absolutely.
He believed in me when no one believed in me, including myself. You know, and it's all those small things when you're young, just starting out. Especially for me, I didn't know anyone here.
Yeah.
I knew no one.
Yeah.
So when you have those people who just, hey, I'll help you out. And you can, so people will give you a bunch of fucking information like
advice.
You should do with your advice.
Yeah.
And then it's your job to go through and see, this is for me, this is not for me. This is,
yeah.
Yeah.
And from everyone. So there's some people who keep shit. There's people who hated Tommy because they're like, oh, he didn't took care of me or he didn't believe in me. And those guys, now that Tommy's gone, they're still nothing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that Tommy got ignored because they're just pure garbage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and they expect everything to be given and not work for it.
Tommy's most positive quality as someone who came up through the Comedy Store is that he fully believed in the employee to comedian evolution.
Yeah.
Which I think you two are the only two guys who have been passed as paid regulars from the employee.
Yeah.
And Punky.
Yeah.
Oh, Punky. Well, that's right.
Yeah, but Punky was a little different than she wasn't a door guy, you know?
Yeah.
The two of us were door guys. And, like, that's the issue right now. Like, currently here, you have a lot of employees who are just employees and not actual they're not trying to legitimately be comics, you know?
We have door guys that aren't. I mean, I know security, but
There's the cover boot girls. There's door guys who they're comics.
Yeah.
But they're so focused on working that they're not even trying to push what
they're
saying.
They're making
they're
money.
Just repeating the same jokes. They're not taking chances.
But that's
and
that's part of their process too. I mean, we were all at that same point.
They're all trying to get they're trying to get that 5 minute Tonight Show set.
But when you get
1980.
But this is the difference is that there was moments when I remember when I first got hired at the Comedy Store. I'm like, yes, I'm at here at the Comedy Store. I'll get spots. And Tommy would tell the host, minus one guy who got me on every time, he would tell the host, hey, don't put Josh on.
What?
And I would not get on Sunday or Monday. And I worked here. And I would go up late night after all the paid regulars. I would do a longer set in front of almost nobody.
Right.
But I use those spots. He knew that I just need to get comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You utilize
you were
going to
be here
giving.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at that time I was living in my car anyway, so it was like, I'm going to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
By
put
the
them
way,
up and get you comfortable on stage with something that's not, that's something new to you.
Yeah,
because
at first I'm like, wait, I thought you said this guy did something for you. But
no,
then
but
he did.
It's those things that, those small things that people don't understand. They don't appreciate,
love,
you know?
Right?
It is.
Yeah.
And there's things like that that there's different people in my life that I know that has done certain things like that. Who it might have been tough love or not, like it may come off like they were a dick, but you could take
works.
Someone being a
yeah.
dick and try to spin it and learn something from it, you know?
Yeah.
Better yourself from someone being a shitty person.
Yeah, I mean, I learned almost everything I know about comedy from doing 1 in the morning to 2:15 in the morning spots in the OR.
Oh,
as opposed to in my time as an employee, it was we had maybe 3 people in the audience during employees.
Yeah.
And then there was 20 open micers that were just there to ruin your night. So well, you didn't learn anything from that.
That's the beautiful thing about today, though, and I wish door guys would really consider that, like, you're going up with 40 other people. So yeah. How are you going to stand out?
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's a lot of, like, you know, I'm a funny white guy.
Oh, I love that. That's one of my favorite demographics.
And it's not even just about that.
Was that you saying that about yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm very cocky, too.
It's not even about that. There's certain... For the current door guys, you have to be honest with yourself and realize, I am not going to get past for at minimum 2 years.
Yeah.
At minimum. So you can fuck around. You have 2 years to fuck the fuck around and try something new and be... Try to figure out who you find yourself. Because you are not... Because there's a certain door guy, I'm not going to say names.
You're allowed to, but
I know
on.
I'm allowed, but I'm not going
disclaimer.
To.
Okay.
Okay. He's like, oh, on Mondays during potluck, like, I'm only going to do my best 5 every set. And I'm like, dude, at minimum, you're 3 years away from getting past. At minimum.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not even close. You're not being honest with yourself.
And to say you have a best 5 at that point is ridiculous.
You don't have a good 5.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't.
If your best is still not good, then what's the point of showcasing it weekly?
And you truly don't know what's good. You don't truly know yourself well enough to know what's good and what's not good.
Yeah.
I love this.
You're
a
goddamn idiot. Okay.
Jesus.
Okay. Be honest with yourself. We're in this weird time in comedy where comics aren't honest to themselves and they're not honest to other comics. They'll jerk each other off.
I don't think that's
like,
new. I think that's
been
forever.
Been a long
it's been
time.
Forever, but it's because of the
it's
very
just,
PC.
I think it's you
thing,
noticing
you can,
it. Because you're at an elevated level now.
Yeah.
So you're seeing it. But that's the way it's always been. It's always been delusional assholes.
And that's why I'm friends with Lucas Hurl, because I jerk him off all the
time. Is that true?
Lucas Hurl was going to tell a story about getting yelled at by Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right,
so
I apologize.
This beefy corn cock motherfucker.
Yeah, let's strip that corn. All right,
so it's a come full circle.
Pull that husk out.
Tommy hadn't smoked weed yet that day.
Oh, yeah.
I
love how calm it is.
That's the opening of Tommy's
journal. So calm compared to the fucking... The raging.
And you know,
what are you looking for, the xylophone?
And he would give you advice, but it would come at weird times. Like, you know, I was probably having just C sets, nothing special. Okay. And
I thought you were going to say C section. I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah,
no.
Junior. A reboot.
But, you know, I was just probably drinking and having fun and you know, not thinking
anything.
That's
what we do.
And he comes up and he's like, what's your deal?
Yes.
And he goes, and this is when Josh had just started. And he said, all right, and they were making Josh sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on stage.
Okay.
Okay.
Because, oh, yeah, I remember that joke. I used to kill with that joke.
And that was in your best 5.
I honestly didn't have a 5. That was like
that was me
filling in time to make 3 minutes.
And they're doing this just because of the speech impediment?
Yeah, for the speech impediment.
I think it's funny.
It was,
okay.
Yeah, it was Christmas time, I remember.
Oh, all right.
And he goes, "What's your deal? Are you going to let Josh Martin surpass you?"
Oh, shit.
And he just went on and... It,
start I, the fuel.
I, this was like 5 years ago. I never forgot it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You said, there's no way I'm letting that happen.
I mean, you
guys have been mortal enemies ever since.
I mean,
no.
But you know, hey, you know who helped Josh a lot, in my opinion, was Huck.
Yeah.
Huck
helped everyone.
That.
He really did.
Huck was a good guy because
he was
a former bartender here. He's a former Thai police.
Yeah.
He could easily
Thai mafia.
He could easily kill everyone.
Yeah.
And but he was a good gauge of who is good people and who's not.
Oh, totally.
He knew exactly who had potential and who didn't.
Yeah.
And he could tell that potential very early on, you know.
So you were one of those people.
I was one of those people because he wanted to just smoke cigarettes and drink.
Of course.
And he wanted someone to make the drinks for him.
Yeah.
And so he's like,
I don't know how
"Hey,
he had a heart attack.
Come behind the bar, and then I'll tell you where to put it in the glass, and you just pour it until I tell you to stop." and then I'll tell you what else to put in it.
So he's training you, basically.
He was training me by sitting down, smoking cigarettes, and filling an empty bottle of water with kettle vodka. So he had booze to drink on the drive home.
And then people would walk by and be like, hey, how come you're looking like faggot tonight? And be like,
God, what the fuck?
The bartender is really not nice here.
Anytime an old waitress would come back, he'd go, oh, you gained weight. What the fuck is happening? I'm like, huck, huck, huck.
So good.
Yeah, but you're so fat now, huh? I'm like, huck, I can't.
I mean, he would unabashedly check women out.
Constantly. Yeah.
It was the best.
Yeah, I remember his niece was here. And someone was like, oh, man, Huck, your niece is beautiful. And he didn't say a fucking word. He just stared at him for like 2 minutes. I'm like, I've never seen him not say anything. You think you're making funny? And then just, so, oh, no, I was just kidding, man. Oh, so she's not attractive? I'm like, oh, fuck. How do you get out of this?
Yeah, we had Ranazizi tell the story where he kicked him.
Kicked him.
Kidney, yeah. Right? Yeah. And he
filling a drink on his
crippled
car.
Crippled him. Yeah. Crippled. Yeah, that's right. It was great.
But that, like, I think me and Lucas both had, I feel like we both had very different paths to where we're at now.
Did you do it in New Orleans? Did you do stand up in New Orleans?
And you're strictly a McDonald's man in New Orleans.
Yeah. Okay. Like I feel like we had two very different paths. I feel the one thing that we have in common is we both have a very good work ethic. We both work hard for what we have. We weren't given a lot.
You don't come from money.
It's true.
And so we understand that if you want something, you have to actually apply work. Yeah. And you're not going to get what you want exactly when you want it.
Yeah.
But it just makes you a better person. Sure. It makes you a better comic when you're trying stuff on stage that it may not ever be funny. I'm still doing stuff that it will never be funny on stage. But it's just learning how to get a random thought out your head and just try to figure it out. And that's what a lot of young guys, even on the open mic level, aren't really trying. There's some people who try, and you can see the people who are trying. There's a couple door guys here who are really good at trying new stuff. But the other guys don't have the work ethic. And I think that even though me and
Lucas... Earl's got that Midwestern work ethic, though.
Yeah, and I'm from the South where my grandfather bosses. Like, everyone in my family will not pay anyone to fix anything. It may take longer, but we'll fix it ourselves and do it ourselves just to learn.
Oh, you're doing yourself?
That's some Yakov Smirnoff shit.
Okay.
So, that kind of attitude defines who you are as a person. It defines every aspect of your life where you're like, this... Nothing will be easy. I will never have anything easy in my life. Getting a girl or just anything in my life.
I like that was at the top of the list.
That's always at the
success,
top of the list.
Or like any aspect.
Yeah.
If you didn't come from money, how did you get this fascination with this expensive clothing?
That's how. That's because how you get it. You can't afford shoes
educated.
When you're a kid.
I get that, but that doesn't have anything to do with education.
His new nickname, by the way, is the philosopher, man. This guy is fucking spitting Socrates over there.
Dr. Bustamante.
Dr. Busta is
retired. We have to have at least one episode of the Comedy Store podcast that's actually entertaining.
You son of a bitch.
I'm calling this podcast out. This is slowly becoming the Comedy Store podcast hosted by Rick and Eleanor and the Comedy Store podcast hosted by me.
Yes.
It could be entertaining Bustamante. If it was a visual.
Dr. Bustamante.
See, yeah. Dr.
Bustamante. The nickname's back.
I knew he liked it. And I can't believe he would say this stuff about our podcast not being entertaining. We had Jade Ketaprata on last week. But I dare you to not be entertained.
I mean,
are you not entertained?
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Not entertained.
The great thing about the store, though, it's one of my favorite things about
that
it.
That we all shit on each other.
That we all shit on each other is that.
And it's true, because then people get sensitive. Like, Tony Hinchcliffe got upset. He said we were talking shit about him on the podcast. We weren't. Rick did an impression of him, but Jade was talking about how he would pick on her so hard, she went home and thought of three things to say to him, and one of them worked. And she just reiterated it. She didn't. She wasn't saying this, this, and this about Tony. She was saying that's how she grew up here, because that's how it is here.
And he talks a lot of shit about people, too.
So. Well, okay, I'm going to go off on a Josh rant. Like,
yeah.
I want you to.
A lot of people here aren't tough. Where?
How dare you look at me?
Like Tony.
I'll come across this fucking. Right.
When I started, Tony was just finishing being a door guy.
Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a different. I got promoted to seating the main room, like, just a few months in.
Because Dan, it is, yeah, I forgot.
You get booth money, so that's a promotion.
Exactly. And Dan Madonia, because Dan Madonia had allegedly hit one of the manager's cars,
Whole
finger,
allegedly,
and so he got stripped of that. So Tony was training me, and the whole time he was berating me.
Like, that's how it goes,
and
man.
That's how it goes. And
it's like
it was just like, you're not ready for this. You know, you're not good enough. And this was, you know, 4 hours. Yeah. And I saw how he did it. And he had this weird way where he would, like, you know, if it was full, he would keep the front and center booth empty and he'd sell it.
Yeah.
You know, because he'd make it look special, even though it was just like a regular seat.
Of course.
And but for that shift, it's like, oh, I just have to sit there and take this.
Just for a shift, not even stage time.
Right,
you're talking about
right,
a shift.
Right, and I never worked the main room again. I hated it. I was a lot guy. I loved the lot.
How could you love the lot?
The lot's fantastic.
The lot's
you can
so
do.
Hard.
You can
do
a lot of drugs.
Yeah, John Cheeser trained me.
That's nice.
That's
to
how
know.
You do it.
And
pretty much easy as hell.
He told me, yeah,
a couple drinks. Best plan to get through a lot shift.
Cheezer,
some mushrooms.
Can you imagine driving cars high as fuck?
I remember the night he showed up here, and I was like, oh, are you working? He was like, yeah, I'm doing the lot. And I was like, I watched you eat mushrooms like 5 hours ago or something. Oh, no, that's fine. I'm not even feeling that.
So you turned into a lot guy.
Yeah. I got hired because Jimmy Pidd was fired.
Wait.
And Tommy asked me if I could park cars, and I said I could. And then he asked if I could drive stick, and I said I couldn't. He said, don't worry about it. Tell him you can. And then I taught myself how
see
to drive
good
stick
Tommy
in
is
the lot.
Yep.
For people?
Yeah.
It's a
yeah, he
move.
I learned to drive stick.
I see, I never did.
I was tired of getting like the same person to, you know, move a car.
How many sticks come in? Not to say
I mean,
it like
Cap,
that, but
Cap had that Mustang.
Oh, Mustang. Okay.
Which, I mean, I just wanted to drive that thing.
And did you?
Yeah.
Did
I
you
taught
strip
myself
the gears,
to drive stick.
On the Cap's car? I know.
I would have like three.
Yeah, his clutch was done.
No wonder why he doesn't come here anymore. He's like, every time I leave, my car.
If I worked the lot 5 nights in a week, I'd probably have 3 stick shifts. Over that week that I'd have to figure out.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much always getting, I'm trying to think of who I got to move them. I know Doc would move them. No, Doc Wait, couldn't move
Doc
them.
Doc didn't know.
He was the other one who couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Doc can't
Doc
see.
Doc didn't. Oh, my God. How about Renee? When Renee packed your car up, he puts his head out the window like Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
And he's turning
That's
his
hilarious.
Head. I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
Like his head's going to hit something?
I don't.
Manzellin
like
out that window.
Look out the back window? I don't know what happened to him as a child.
Well, my first time meeting Rick Ingram was parking his car. Because, you know, Dean, his first shift he gave me was a Saturday night lot. And I parked Rick's car in Joe Rogan's spot.
Is this the bullet in the side car?
Do they have the bullet? The 03 Corolla? Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, with the Sirius satellite radio.
You're goddamn right. I still have that same attachment in my new car.
I judge a lot of
class it up.
A lot of paid regulars, like when you turn their car on, whatever like first music station hits,
yeah,
it's like says so much about them.
Yeah.
Everyone teases me for mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you listening to?
Mostly rap. It just gets you pumped
That's
up or dance music, whatever. Something that gets you pumped up if I'm coming to a show.
The only time in my life I ever listened to hip hop was when I worked at Chili's in Torrance.
Yeah.
And I literally had to listen to it so that I could deal with the clientele I was surrounded by.
That's so insane. So you worked at like a Chili's and Josh worked at a McDonald's. It was an hour outside.
You worked one in Long Beach too, right?
McDonald's in Long Beach?
I did work at the McDonald's in Long Beach, in Lakewood, California.
Lakewood.
But I was living in Long Beach, so like when I first started, I would take a metro train from Long Beach all the way to L.A., get dropped off at Hollywood Highland,
mm-hmm.
and then I would walk to the improv from there.
Got God damn.
Because I didn't realize you could. And then I realized you could just take the bus. So I took the bus. And then I realized I can
the bus just drive. Terrible.
I can just drive.
Yeah, there's always car. That option.
And then, yeah.
But you had a car when you moved here?
Yes.
That was his home.
No, I know it was your home, and that to me is fascinating, people that live in their cars. I'm serious, and it's not you're not the only one. There's probably a million people
lots of them.
That live in their car. Did you ever do it, Lucas?
Never.
You always lived at that party house.
Yeah, exactly. You remember that. Yeah,
he's also a much bigger guy than me. It would be way more difficult for Lucas.
Yeah, dude, I'm
way more uncomfortable.
I'm no peasant.
But I know women that do it, and I'm like, how do you do that?
Well, women can do it because they can just sleep at any dude's house every night.
Kind of. I've heard of that hoe kind of thing, but that's this. I know a few comics that lived in their car, females.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it used to break my heart. I'd be like, you can come stay with me. I have a roommate. Like, and this was when I was waiting tables. So I was like, how do women do that? So I don't. I mean, I bless you for that. How you hung in there?
Did you park your car here?
House.
Do you park your mobile home here?
Before I started working here, no. I parked off of like Santa Monica Boulevard. There was a street with no permit parking. I found, so I would just park
those
in there.
Those are hard to find.
And then I would just sleep in my car. And then I would wake up early just to get out before anyone's outside walking or a lot of traffic either.
Josh is the best.
Would you come here and shower and do all that shit?
Sometimes at gym membership.
You had a gym membership?
But like before starting here, I had a place to stay. I lived in this apartment in Long Beach.
Yeah, because when I first met you, you were still working at McDonald's, I think. Because I remember being like, wait, you actually work at McDonald's? I just hadn't.
Yeah.
I knew people in Kansas that worked at McDonald's.
Like I started the comedy store right after the 40th anniversary. So okay. I remember getting a job here, but I didn't start till like the next week after that anniversary.
How did you get told?
Do you guys get recommended?
I got a job because I was just an open micer at the time, and Pauly Shore wanted to do a video about potluck. He wanted to do a video. Describe what potluck was, and so he was gonna film the open mic, but his camera guy got there late, got there at like 10 o'clock, almost 10.
Wow!
And so the open mic was over. It was friends and family, and so they wanted to shoot this video. So my good friend Amy Hawthorne gathered a couple open micers that were hanging at the comic store that time because I went to another mic. I didn't get up earlier. I went to another mic at a place called Red Rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Down the street, which was a great mic. And then I just came back to the store because I didn't have nothing to do. And she's like, hey, Pauly wants to film something about potluck. He needs a couple open mics. Go up. Do you go up already tonight? I'm like, no, I haven't. Okay, cool. So it was like me and this other guy, like very tall. He was an Indian, like Native American Indian.
Oh, okay.
Omar?
Real Indian.
No, like,
wasn't
he doesn't do
Dakota, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Dakota.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that guy.
Dakota tragically died like a few months ago.
Really?
You kidding me?
No, I found out on, like,
GoFundMe
is how I found out on.
Charlie Hill would recommend, like, ask people to put him up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's how I knew
him. He was always a really nice guy.
He was so nice.
So it was me and him. We got up, and this was, what, maybe 6 months into doing stand-up. Maybe 6 months. And I had the better set of the two of us.
Okay.
And so...
you can say that now that he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, right?
I had the better set because... I remember Tony Hinchcliffe was hosting Potluck that night. So that's how... And so... Pauly did this interview with me, and that's how I met Pauly. That's how I met Tony, and I met Sandy Danta. The three of them through that. And Pauly got me a job, talked to Tommy, and got me a job here. We're being a door guy here. And I became friends with Pauly and also with Tony, which I work with
you
all
still
the time
do
since then.
Tony's podcast. Yeah. You guys have
so
a couple podcasts.
Yeah,
together.
So me and Tony work together now, and that's what. Fucking 6.5 years ago, probably.
Wow.
What about your relationship with Pauly? Is it still blossoming?
Yeah, he's a good guy. You know, he might be a little crazy sometimes, but he's Everyone's crazy, and he's a nice guy. You see the people.
It's such a different opinion than I would have.
His poetry's always been cool to me too. He's taken me out. Like it is.
You guys are still on the road with him. I like how they're speaking of him.
Yeah,
I like this.
But it's not even if I wasn't going on the road with him. He's one of those guys who believed in me and saw something before other people.
Also,
he wanted to help me.
I think he's fallen enough that he treats people decently.
I truly think
now.
He has hit a different stage in his life, honestly, because the way he treats you guys, he is nicer to you guys. It is interesting. I had to work with him. So I had to work with him with his mom and, you know, it was just insanity. And we would fight like constant. But now he's older and,
he's nice to me now.
He's nice to me. He's giving me hugs.
Yeah,
that's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's given me some advice that I'll always cherish.
That's working on himself, seriously. But if you guys knew him,
dude, he told me he wanted to produce a special for me, and I was like, cool. And then he was like, dude, we'll do it at what's that shitty comedy club in Burbank?
Flappers.
Oh, yeah, he's like, dude, we'll do it at Flappers. I'm like, why would we do it at Flappers? Why wouldn't
you
we do
own
it here?
The comedy store.
No, dude, forget this place. Flappers. That's where you want to do it. And I'm like, all right. So let's say we film this comedy special at Flappers. What are we gonna do with it, dude? We sell it to YouTube. I'm like, what? What do you mean sell it? Like upload?
Upload.
What are you talking about here?
But that's the thing. There's always people with a different like. Some people provide more advice to other people. There's certain people like for me, Paula was important. Tony was important. Tommy was very important to my beginning.
Are you looking at me and Rick and Lucas? Okay. Well, why would we be important?
Well, Lucas
to you?
But helped
kind
you because
still coming up.
The competition that Tommy put between you.
No, but you have to appreciate the guys who believed in you because I was no one anyone should ever believe in. I didn't believe in myself.
One of the things I loved when you got passed was you tweeted something like, thank you to all the people who believed in me. And then Tony got on and he was like, Josh, this is just for you. Not a lot of people believed in you.
No, and but that's exactly how I honestly felt. But I felt like it would be too much of a dick to just say, hey,
I did this.
I thank no one because I did this on my own. Because that's how I truly felt.
Yeah.
But I even
the truth comes
dick
out.
That much.
Yeah.
I feel like it was too much of a dick. And when he posted that, I'm like, oh, fuck. I really fucked up. I should have.
You should have gone with your gut.
My initial. Right. Feelings.
I died when I read his comment.
I love
Yeah.
It's how
just
long
like, dude,
have you
people
passed?
Didn't believe in you.
We both got passed
August 18th. Yeah.
Damn, the date. That's I love that. It's still fresh.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, no. That was my first spot. We got passed the week before that. Yeah.
Okay. No, I love it. And you guys got passed the same night, correct?
Yeah.
And how many people were on that showcase?
It was a lot.
I feel like 15,
15, 20. But it's 15. You have a larger number, but the reality of the people who potentially could have got passed was very small.
Like five or six.
Yeah, there's like five or six that were honestly being
considered.
Right,
it's almost like,
you know,
considerate to put
because
all
after,
of them on.
Because at that showcase, it was everyone who was working here for at least a year.
Yeah.
Was showcased.
I thought it was like, was it a year or 2 years?
2 years.
2 years.
I think it was 2 years.
Or maybe,
years.
But which was most of the employees. There's very few employees that were...
Yeah,
below that,
but
you know, at that time.
Yeah.
So there.
But
there
you
was
guys knew you were showcasing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So and we also knew we were going up near the end.
Oh, you both knew you were going
up.
Yeah. Nice.
I didn't go up toward the end. I went up kind of in the middle, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was last. Oh, you were the closer.
You
were
the last.
Whoa, look at you.
So, like, I saw that like cheerleading section, you know.
And it was all door people or employees rather, not. Like other random,
right?
No,
right.
Door guy.
Yeah, it was the door guy showcase.
Right, okay. And it was like that room was packed. That's what I love about showcases is how packed.
Yes.
Everybody gets, and you just feel that.
Yeah.
I mean, paid regulars.
Yeah.
Like I never talked to D'Elia in years until he's like after my set. He's like, "You did great," and that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, no one told me I did great after my set.
Gosh, this is what I'm talking about. People did not support you. This is bullshit. You did this on your own. This is just like schooling. You did it all on
your
own.
But
you're a liar. I told you did good because I saw you.
Oh, shit.
You're talking your Philly
trash. No bullshit.
I'm talking your Philly garbage, okay?
you piece of shit. And I said, they're going to pass this motherfucker.
The greatest thing about getting passed was I remember that Tuesday, after the Tuesday that we got, we heard. So the showcase was on Monday. That Tuesday we found out earlier in that day that we got passed. And I remember coming here, and I remember every single paid regular that didn't say congrats to me. Like, I still remember every single person I saw.
That's why. That's where this.
And now I'm like,
oh, vengeance comes from.
I'll remember every fucking paid regular.
Who gives a shit? No, you're but so funny.
I remember all. Like, I remember as a door guy. I remember the paid regulars
Belichick?
Who treated me like shit. Like Leslie Jones treated me like shit every fucking time I was at the OR. Caparillo treated me like shit. There's guys who treated me like shit.
Did I treat you like
and
shit?
And I remember... probably. But...
it was a very passive problem.
I remember those people. And now I'm like, oh, now...
How did they...
I always remember...
How did they treat you like shit? Like, they just treated you like you were nothing?
Yeah, they treated me like nothing.
That drove me crazy. Like,
and did especially, Leslie hit you with her sweat towel?
No, Leslie just fucking would...
Oh. Act like you're a fucking...
Talked down you, and which I was nothing.
She's 6'5".
But also, and then she would just run the light, and when you say you're just being a door guy, like, hey, you did 22 minutes,
yeah,
and I let you at 12 because that the spot she was getting, Tommy wasn't in the cover booth. I was working the cover booth.
Oh, like, so you would tell her she ran the light.
I'm like, hey, you did 22 minutes.
That's why nobody likes
and
you.
Then she's
okay.
Like, started fucking going off. I'm like, what the fuck? Also, I can't trust anyone who's best friends with Eric Marino.
Are you guys not friends?
No.
Eric Marino?
Sometimes I get confused about who it is you do and don't like.
I don't like a lot of people.
I'm going to go with everybody.
Yeah.
And like, there's
so likes,
maybe Lucas Hurl
he
is
likes
the only
Hurl
one
and Tony.
He likes you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you don't have any anger like this?
No,
you?
No.
You're very nice.
I'm fueled by anger, though.
Bobby Lee pissed me. Bobby's the only guy I've never really been close. And I wish I was, because I think the fact that we both coexisted here for as long as we have should make, you know, some people you've just known long enough. Yeah. It's like,
wait, so Bobby's just not nice to you?
I mean, I don't like that you have to play Bobby's game to be cool.
Exist
with
him. In his world.
Yeah, you got to do this like improv. Like, I know, you know what I mean. Like kind of
I don't know. I didn't
play
talk to
with
him
his
for 17
with his
years.
Insecure
yeah,
ego. So I was working the
we
lot.
Reconciled Bobby and Eleanor on the podcast.
Okay, you did?
Yeah.
17. See, and I think I could easily reconcile with him. It's just
all right, we'll
years
do it.
Ago when I started, I was working the lot, and Moses, who was hired a month after me from La Jolla, was working the back door, and we just had the balls to say hi to Bobby as he's coming in the club. And Bobby turned around, and he said to both of us, he said, I don't mean to be a dick, but I don't talk to a door guy until he's been here a year.
Yep.
And then he turned around and kept going. And then Moses, pretty cleverly, said, I was in La Jolla for 4. And Bobby smart. Came back and turned around, and he's like, looked at us both, and he said, you come here, you start fresh.
Oh, and he left. Started from La Jolla. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Look, he's like, look, I will give you any reason to not talk to you guys.
Right.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
So I mean, that really stuck with me. Now that I've been here a bit, it's like, oh, I get it. You know, I don't like to talk to people until they've been here a year.
Exactly, that is a thing here.
I think Danny, the sound guy, is the same thing. Like, I'm not learning a door guy's name until he's been here a year. Otherwise,
Harris Pete used to say. Everybody used to say it. Same with the waitresses; they wouldn't even make eye contact with us unless they wanted to sleep with them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but obviously there was incentives.
Hey, how long you?
What's your name?
Be here?
No, just the first. I don't want to know the whole name.
What's your address?
And then, for me, like, not for really door guys. It's just in general for comics. I personally don't like wasting my time talking to people that I don't see any potential in.
There's no value.
Like, there's no value. It's a waste of my energy to talk to someone that doesn't have real potential. That at this moment of their career, you see no growth.
So they can't help you.
So not help me. It's just like. They're learning from the best. They're not helping.
The Tony way.
They're not
Are
helping.
You a Palmer?
No, it's not helping me. They're not helping comedy. They don't put in the work to help comedy. And I care because if I surround myself around people.
You're waking up, Tommy.
If I surround myself with people who care about stand-up and want to do one comedy be great, because if you make comedy great, it doesn't just help you. It helps everyone who does comedy.
I don't like
this. By keeping it going, keeping it an art form that people still want to go to and see live.
Rick doesn't like the positivity. I don't like
this.
Why?
I don't like this camaraderie. I think not it needs to be everyone for themselves. We were talking probably 2 months ago about, I think it was me and Eleanor and Rogan and Steve-O, I believe, were standing in the back. Right. And we were talking about, you know, just how great lineups are here. And we're talking about how Rogan realizes that there's enough for everybody.
Yes.
And so Rogan's not trying to really big time anyone. When he brings me up on stage a lot. And he always gives me a great introduction. It's not like some bullshit thing where he's like, oh, you've seen this guy on this or whatever. It's always just like, this dude's super funny. I've known him a long time. Something easy, simple, but it seems genuine. And so the crowd just accepts it because they loved him. Whereas Marin does the opposite. He's just does everything he can to just belittle me in any way or anyone. Oh, boy, buckle your seatbelts because this guy's going to come and talk to all of you. You're just like, God damn it.
But did you think Marin does that because that's how he came up, like people would shit on each
other?
No,
he's just a shitty person. he has always been known to treat people like shit. He has always been known to treat people like shit, okay?
He's like Josh.
I've always
said
hello to him, and he's always weird. That's just who he is.
Yeah.
He even comes off like that on his own podcast, that he's a shitty person. He spends most
of his. He's always been cool to me.
He spends most of his episodes of his podcast is him apologizing to someone that he fucking was a dick to.
Because was an addict. Because he was an alcoholic. He was a mess.
It's bullshit excuses.
That's not
okay,
bullshit. Dude. When you bullshit party excuses, that hard,
Josh is rocking the jerk off sign.
Do you
pretty
party?
Hard.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Do you party? Because you don't. Know what blackout?
You
means?
But you should know you.
No.
Yes.
I bet you love Sam.
First of all,
I drink.
I bet your favorite comic is Sam Kinison.
No.
Okay, you don't like Sam Kinison at all.
Mm,
he was the
okay.
biggest dick on the planet. You know what? Because he was a.
I'm the
drunk.
Biggest dick. And I'm not a
fucking
party.
Oh, that's why
party.
You don't like Mark, because you don't like your own kind.
No, it's not that. It's not that at all.
They
you
both
just...
described themselves as cranky on the podcast.
Because
I said something about Marin being better. He's I'm not even bitter anymore. I'm just cranky.
Yeah, but...
You're too young to be bitter, by the way.
Too...
That's not true.
He treated people
I showed up at 21, bitter as fuck.
I'm an angry guy, but I know how to treat people with respect. I know how to treat people kind.
Well, yeah,
and know how to
here's the difference, though.
And he didn't. And he may be using.
He might have back then. He's like 50 something.
No, but he uses fucking
back,
alcohol
famous.
As an excuse for why he did everything.
Not
go
just
fuck
alcohol.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Not just alcohol.
It's a lot of blow.
Alcohol, drugs, whatever.
A lot of blow.
You know, but you.
You're not buying.
I agree. But I'm saying
it's
like,
a bullshit excuse that people use. You're responsible for your own actions. Stop blaming everything else. You're responsible for the blow you did. You're responsible for how you treated people. You're making excuses. I will never
use
that
Pearl
as a talk.
Fucking excuse. He's
about no, I was
going to
say, I know Josh.
Destroy your theory.
Josh has no respect for people with no self-control. Like, he'll zero in on a weakness.
Got
as a
it.
Bartender, like, I can imagine that's especially annoying.
Like, I hate AA meetings because I'm like, oh, you are
they
all...
They don't come to your bar
no.
anymore.
I hate them
finance.
Because I'm like, oh, all of you are weak people.
Oh,
that
my
you
God.
Can't,
yep.
You can't control
yep. now we're talking.
What you drink.
I'm back on board.
You can't
yep.
control yourself. You're that level weak.
Be
you
strong.
Should not be alive.
Yeah,
we
you should not be alive.
Send them to an
I
island.
Like that.
Move them all to island so we don't have to deal with these
my wife
people
and I used to talk about
it.
The island. So
I
want to
segregate
is,
like,
a
you
lot
used to
of
smoke,
islands.
You used to smoke weed.
A lot.
That's
yeah,
a
you
different
used to,
kind of drug.
But, no, but you used to smoke a lot of weed
yep.
and you used to drink
yep.
until you got diabetes.
Yep.
And but you were strong enough to control, like, hey, I got to cut this out.
Yep.
And you was able to do it because you were strong enough.
And more
you know?
Importantly, I've never apologized to anyone for the horrible things I did when I was
that's,
fucked up.
That's
because
awesome.
You knew what you did.
I was well
you,
aware.
You're aware of
you
what you
know.
Did, you know?
My being a bad person is what makes me a good person.
Oh, okay.
But
I like
you,
that. That's a great
I
saying.
Don't like weak Money. People. I don't like people who don't have self-control. I get wasted all the time.
You're one of
and,
my
but
favorite
I am
bowlers,
aware
by
of
the
what
way.
I say Last night it was.
You were pretty drunk.
I was drunk last night, and I spent a big chunk of my night last night here shitting on the Chris Rock's new special.
Thank God.
And I'm aware.
Is it because he repeats his punchlines over and over again?
There's a couple issues with it.
I gotta hear this. I want Lucas to talk,
I was talking shit about the new special as well, and then a lot of people got really upset about it. So many people responded to a tweet I made that I eventually just deleted the tweet so I didn't keep getting my phone blown up.
How bad was it?
It's not good. A lot of it's really hacky.
It's very hacky. And, especially the first half is very, very hacky. Very hacky, and you could tell he didn't write any of the fucking jokes that he had writers write all these fucking jokes. And I know one of his writers, and I...
Who?
I'm not going to say names.
God
damn
it.
I'm not saying names.
I know.
We're not going to.
But I know one of his writers. And
it's Tony.
There's some jokes I could hear in this guy's voice.
Right.
And he's a shitty comic who hated Tommy because Tommy wouldn't give him spots. You know?
That's
and I could hear it in his
accurate.
Voice.
Accurate. I'm going to say that's accurate.
Yeah. I think usually the opposite way, one of the things I've always hated about watching young beginner comedians I would watch someone's act and I'd be like, I know who they think they are right now. Like, they are trying to be Bill Burr right now. They're not trying to be themselves.
Yeah.
And I know, because when I started, I did impressions and it was awful. And then I started trying to write jokes and it didn't go great. It was okay. Like, when I was on the road with Pauly, it was fine, but I would never tell any of those jokes ever again. And then it occurred to me after another couple of years, like, I was basically writing jokes in Sebastian's cadence because he was my favorite comedian. And that's who I was watching. And I'm like, yeah, this guy's angry like me.
Who do you do jokes like, Lucas?
I honestly don't know.
Because for me, I know there's moments where I would tell jokes in a very Ari Shaffir way.
Oh, my
God. There's a part where I... So, told jokes in a Jerry Carmichael way, because I remember I would watch them while seeing the OR. I would watch them too a lot.
Yeah.
At the time, and so I would catch myself having this.
That's why I stopped watching comedy.
Kind of hybrid of Ari and Gerard.
Dude, now that you say that, you kind of look like a hybrid of Ari and Gerard. I can't watch comedy. Like, I love Bill Burr, but if I watch Bill Burr,
especially
if I still have to go up that night. I can't. I'll start ranting about something on stage, and I'm like, "What am I doing?
This isn't
my comedy. This is not what I do."
Yeah, that's
you
why.
Don't
I...
have anybody that you looked up to?
That I looked up to.
I mean, that you
mimic.
Not mimic, yeah, because I
love Mitch Hedberg, and I saw Hedberg
that era.
I saw Hedberg. It's like 6 weeks before he died.
Yeah,
in Iowa, I was in college, and my brothers and I went. And
what year was that?
It would have been...
I want to know if he was still eating the pills I gave him in Miami.
What year? 2005. So
it was the same as Freddie, I think, that same year.
Yeah.
So it was probably a year before what you did.
Mitch Hedberg was an unbelievable comedian. I remember watching Mitch Hedberg's special and being like, all right, that dude's funny. And then over the next year and a half, growing to hate him with such a passion.
Why?
Because every shitty open micer on Earth
I see what you mean.
Was
yes.
trying to be Mitch Hedberg.
Becoming him.
But so it was just like, you're not him. It drove me fucking crazy. A lot of comics do that.
What I loved about him, though, was that he... And I get that. Like
He was great. He was great.
But he was the master at him. Yes. But he also showed me that you don't have to be comfortable to be on stage.
That's right.
And he would never look at the crowd. He wore those goddamn shaded aviators. But if you were a great joke writer,
yeah,
you could do it.
You could do it.
We had his widow on episode, yeah. A disaster
Sean
episode.
Croc. Yeah, Lynn.
When we let Stanhope take over the insanity. Uh-huh.
There was like 2 weeks where we did these insane podcasts. Yeah, they were all here for Ari's storytelling show. So we had Rogan, Stanhope.
Second one I didn't even show up for because the one the night before was so insane.
He was
Stanhope
so
wasted. And he had like 45 people in the room with him. And at one point he brought on Hedberg's widow was there and he brought her in and she was wasted. And She just kept dropping N-bombs.
Oh, my God. It was brilliant. We had to cut it out. It was so bad.
I just kept looking around like, Mitch never said that, but he did say. And I was like, oh, God.
When I saw Mitch, he was on tour with Stephen Lynch, and Stephen couldn't make that gig in Iowa for whatever reason. So they had their host opened, and their host was Al Madrigal.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's right. They were on the tour bus. Yeah. Because Al came down for a couple minutes on that podcast.
He did? Mm-hmm. And I didn't, like, think Al was that. Like, he was a Mexican from San Francisco, and that's what we talked about.
Oh, but he was
pretty
new. Yeah.
Yeah, he was very new.
He was very new.
And so when I saw him years later, when I started working here, and I think he's one of the, you know, great ones.
Dude's great, yeah.
And it made me realize that, like, unlike Josh, be nice to everybody because you don't know who's going to be
where. You never know who's going to go
where. You never know.
That's right. Yeah. And I have
learned that lesson still to this day.
Look at Sebastian. Right. How many people were mean to Sebastian when he got booed in the main room?
I don't remember that.
Oh, my God.
When I showed up, he was already crushing.
That was for his Sandy, when he graduated from Sandy Seashore's class.
I remember watching a video of him doing the week I had today to just silence.
Like, was he copying dice, I always heard?
They call it, like, Dice Light. I hate to say that, but it was...
They call him Andrew Dice Seinfeld?
That was his influence, was Dice and Seinfeld.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, you can feel he didn't want to be dirty, and then Dice did take him on the road, and he did like Dice's, you know, whatever, cadence.
Yeah.
And so now, but I feel like he did find himself. He's definitely influenced. I'm hugely influenced by Judy Gold. You guys probably don't even know who that is. Judy She's Gold. My favorite. And I would watch her in the OR when I didn't want to be a comic. But then when I started writing and doing stand-up, that's who I would think of when I would go on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though I've watched every single great comic there is, I feel like.
Yeah.
For 12 years. And that's hard. That's why I don't watch. Because I would write a joke and I'd be like, oh my God, that's not my joke. That's, you know, John Caponera's joke from 97. Like, what are you doing?
Did you guys always listen to, like, stand-up even as, like, in high school or whatnot? Yeah.
I started listening to... Well, when I was young, really young, like, my parents showed me Steve Martin stand-up, or we listened to a Steve Martin album.
We did listen to that.
I remember watching George Carlin specials on VHS and Richard Pryor specials and just not getting any of it because I was fucking 10 or whatever. Yeah. But the first comedy special that ever made me be like, I want to be a comedian was Chris Rock's Bring the Pain.
Yeah.
And that's part of why it's so tough for me to watch it now and just be disappointed is because it's like that. His first special was so good.
Don't you think that's where he's at now? Like he tried to make it personal because I did watch Tambourine. He tried to make it personal when he was talking about his wife and what he'd gone through and bullshit like that. I don't know. I think that's just where he's at in his life.
It could be. I mean, it could be, you know,
but
where I'm at.
And but like that special made you want to
Bring the
do
Pain
stand-up?
Was phenomenal. Yeah.
Okay.
That was yours.
Like my first album I've ever listened to, and it did not make me want to do stand up. I never thought, I just enjoyed stand up. I remember buying Todd Barry's first album, which was my first stand up album. And then after that was Dave Attell.
Dude,
how old were you?
Attell's been this was in college.
Yeah,
so
Dave
Attell is amazing. I was a sophomore in college, maybe a freshman in college.
Dave Attell was the first comic I saw here. Go up four nights in a row and not tell any of the same jokes.
Yeah.
And I was like, this dude is fucking.
I remember
legend.
Attell and Todd Barry were the first two comics that I really listened to because I never listened to, because I was in a very sheltered, very religious household growing up in high school.
Really?
So because of that, I didn't really experience life.
What's your relationship with Christ like now?
What religion?
You know,
is Catholic? Christ in it?
No.
Were you.
Wait,
what? Are you Mormon? What are you
trying
to say?
No, it was an Assembly of God, like Pentecostal praying in tongues.
Well, that's fucked up shit.
Praying in tongues?
Yeah.
Dude, that's what happened.
There you go.
And the feigning and all that stuff. But like,
get the fuck out of here.
That explains the anger.
So, because of that, I never really had any kind of form of art besides... like Christian rock or Christian music. And stuff
what
like
Christian
that.
Bands
those
are you listening
are
to?
So there's a lot of music I never heard.
Well, that's like Chris
until
Rock's
college,
whole thing now.
You know?
He's basically follows minister, repeat the important part to really drive it home.
But he always did that.
Always.
It drove me crazy when he did it in the OR. And I just, it was something I got used to.
Steve Simone always said, the one thing I learned from going on the road with Paulie and Ingram was I had to share a room with Ingram, and he managed to ruin all my favorite comedians.
Yeah, he told me that last week.
Steve Simone?
Yeah.
I mean, look, Chris, my first ex-fiance used to represent Chris, and I was a waitress here. So when Chris was doing Bring the Pain, we would go on the road with him. Like, I saw him in Jersey do it. I saw him here do it a lot. Vegas, all over the place. I watched that special grow.
Yeah.
And that was phenomenal. But it was also 20 years?
93.
Yeah.
It's because the first album I ever bought was, I was like 13 or 14, and I bought two CDs. It was Sugar Ray's 1459 and Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker. Ooh,
Bigger and Blacker was good,
and,
too.
Yeah, and it was in the middle of Iowa, and my mom wasn't happy, but yeah, you know, it's my allowance. And
tell me about that Sugar Ray album.
That sounded so white. Dude. It was my allowance. Yeah. Whoa.
The question is, which album was your mom upset that you got? Was it the Chris Rock or was it the Sugar Ray?
I'm not shitting on his mom because I like his mom. She's one of my favorite people.
Oh, yeah. What you want?
She loves you.
But his mom was also the gayest music ever.
So.
Yeah, no, well, see, Adam Egan and I... You can tell we're both children of divorced parents because we listen to the same,
gay.
Like, yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah. And because we listen to, like, I grew up with Kenny G and Michael Bolton.
Oh, my God. I'm Damn. So sorry.
Yeah.
That's who your mom listened to?
That's all she listened to.
She was really
to.
Taking dope. That divorce hard.
Yeah. Like, her. my dad listened to, like, Phil Collins.
Yeah.
So between the houses, man. You know?
So no matter what, it was always on.
I'm learning about good music now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, my mom, when she got divorced, she was listening to The Right Said Fred. She was in it. She was too sexy for my like, favorite song.
She was planning that divorce years ago.
Hey. Like, but, like, with my background, like, I did a lot of bands, like I never, like, I past maybe 6 months, I truly started listening to, like, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
No.
So there's all these artists that I'm going back and listening to as an adult, which is not that bad of an issue, because now...
You have new music.
I'm smart enough to know why this music is great.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're in your 20s, like in your 20s, you're listening to stuff from the 70s, like, oh, this is fucking old music. Blah, blah. No one
See, I was into
this,
it then.
You know?
I was so straight edge in high school, but like I was always depressed and angry. So I loved grunge music, and that's what I listened to, like Pearl Jam, Nirvana. And then when I got into my 20s and I was in college and out here, I was really stoned most of the time, and I got super into classic rock, and so I was like, I loved all that shit.
I love
Zeppelin. I love old Rolling Stones. The anything past like 1980 Rolling Stones is fucking garbage, but that's just me. As soon as they started looking like grandmas, I was out.
I have friends that like the Rolling Stones better than the Beatles.
Yeah, that's
hands down.
Maren's one of them.
Yeah.
Is he?
I don't know.
Good girls.
He loves the Stones.
Good girls like the Beatles. Bad girls like the Stones and Led Zeppelin.
I like both.
Fucked all
does
their
that
girlfriends.
Make me a good bad girl.
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay.
It must.
I'm excited about it.
I mean, Jimmy Page had a 14-year-old girlfriend, right?
Wait a minute.
Well, did you say Jimmy Page?
Allegedly.
Or Jimmy Page. Hey, that there's a 48-year-old
hey,
girl.
How are you? Yeah, Jimmy likes older girls, Jimmy
Is
Kidd.
It true Jimmy would leave his post if he didn't get up on potluck?
That I don't know.
I got to be honest. That's the thing that right now is missing. Right now, we only have Feng Chao as a character of a door guy. Like, there was no characters like Jimmy Pidd. I mean, Mac Lindsay. Hey. The things they would do.
Don threatened
you know, the
me,
crazy
so I hit him with
clock.
The bong.
If you want...
I hit him with the bong and they fired me. You broke glass on someone's head? Well, you was choking me. It's the Comedy Store. You go out and you start choking someone and they hit you with a bong, they get fired. Makes sense. Hey, ain't nothing to worry about. Ain't never going to L.A. ever again.
No, boy. I mean, yeah, I feel like you guys, I mean, you don't work the door anymore at all, either one of them.
You guys are just bartenders,
just
right?
Bartenders. Yeah. So that's like a move up.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I mean.
That's got to be competitive back there. Because right now, you first of all, when you guys started, was it busy here?
No, not at all.
There'd be like one or two bartenders a night.
Yeah.
I feel like I walk back there some nights and there's like four people working. I'm like, what the fuck?
What? How do they fit back there? Yeah. Like, what are they doing?
No, it's busy as hell. I mean, it's
30 waitresses or some shit.
I remember like probably Rogan came midway through my Comedy Store, you know, came back.
Right.
And so the difference really between like when Joey Diaz and Joe and whatnot came hanging around again, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Egitt started talent coordinating and
right.
He did not move up the employees quite as quickly, but he did start bringing in celebrities with name recognition.
Right. And now when I go up at 1 a.m., there's an audience. Like I plan
Isn't
that 1 a.m. set. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's great.
I used to have
like 10, 15 sets and there would be like 12 people there. Yeah. I'd be like, woo, big night at the Comedy Store.
The way I got in, and I got hired 4 months after hanging out here, but I hung out here 6 nights a week till 2 a.m. watching the show. Because it amazed me that you could come to a club and sit in the back and just watch and they wouldn't bother you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you said I'm a comic.
If you said you're a comic, there's a section for you and you could watch the show. And I just stayed out of everybody's way.
You were so quiet when you first came.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I didn't like go the back and try to like, you know.
Erica Ligney, everyone.
And then
did I say his name?
And I didn't drink. I didn't like, but mostly because I was too cheap.
Why
but you
pick
know.
Every single time.
He's an example of someone.
No, I get what you're saying because
he's one of our four listeners. Come on.
Yeah.
But you just appeared. I didn't know you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, people have this perception of like, I want to come to the store and I want to like the whole idea you have to hang in a club is stupid. But they come on a Friday and Saturday when everybody else is here. It's like you want to be seen, hang out at Wednesday at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
That's when you'll be recognized.
That's when you'll be recognized.
Yeah, that's when Tommy's going to say,
what are you doing here? Okay. You're not a part of this yet.
Wait a minute.
But you told me 2 weeks ago that I needed to start hanging out if I wanted to be a part of it.
He would say that to people. He would tell people to hang out. And yeah. I used to get pissed at that. I was like, Tommy, what are you doing?
Oh,
like,
that's hilarious.
We don't need more people hanging out.
There was a difference between that and now. Like now, then it was like you hang out, but people knew where they didn't belong. I never would go back in the back where people were paying for because I'm like, this is not where I belong. I'll hang out on the front patio or inside the showroom in the back watching the show.
Yeah,
but
I
knew where I stand in the comedy community. And I was honest with myself and knew like, hey, I'm nobody.
You're aware. I'm aware
of who the fuck I am and that I'm nobody.
I used to like when they opened that VIP bar that I could go sit back there and usually you were working and I could just sit there and watch whatever was on TV or a movie or whatever.
Or wait to go on. Yeah.
It was a place to go where I didn't have to talk to people I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, it's like, I understand they did it because there was 4 people back there all night. And they wanted people be back there if they're paying a bartender. But then I could go back there and that fucking annoying chubby dude from Philly would be back there.
I always forget his name.
Philly's always annoying.
Hey, shut your face, man.
He has a beard. He'd try and jump into every conversation.
Yeah. I know that's who you're talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Someone would say something and he's like one of those one-upper people. He'd be like, this one time. We're like, listen, open micer, no one gives a fuck about your story. That's 100% not cool.
And that's what's weird now is now... Like, you would see people, when I first started here, you would see people hang out here, but you would also see them at open mics. And now there's a lot of guys you see who claim to be comics, and yet that guy from Philly, I've never seen him on stage.
Well, he's pretty big in the Central Atlantic region.
But, like, there's something like the friends I made were most of my friends, including Lucas, have been doing this way longer than me.
Okay. How long have you been doing stand-up?
I'm at 6.5 years.
I'm at 8.
Oh, wow.
So, but most of my friends are around like 8. Like Jeremiah, Sandra, like all the friends I made in the open mic were
at minimum
a year and a half ahead of me, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that's what I liked about starting stand-up late because I started when I was 26.
Oh my God! So elderly.
I was kind of mature enough, so I connected to the people.
Fucking geezer
that
over
were
here, Eleanor. You
time.
Can't believe that he started when he was 26.
Fuck you!
I was old.
For saying
I was
that,
an old
by
man.
The way.
I started when I was 19, and I am on top of the comedy game now.
I started when I was 35. How fucking bad is that?
Yeah, and now you're 75.
I know. Isn't
God
that great?
Damn
Do I look
it.
Amazing?
You look fantastic.
No, you look horrible.
Why don't you look at me, you piece of shit?
Just
Why
look her in the eyes when you insult her, for God's
at least
sake.
Look at me.
I can see the reflection of you and Rick's greasy forehead.
You son of a bitch. Don't you Whitney Cumming me. She needs powder.
So,
you're so bad.
He would say that? Yeah. No, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Really? Because she was shiny, but really.
She's always shiny.
He would say all kinds
it's
of
that
stuff,
to her
man.
Face, would he?
No, no, of
no,
course not.
Just to us.
He'd
yeah,
say
yeah,
it to me as I stood there
like,
trying to
convince
him.
Like, you've never witnessed him saying anything horrible about people? Not horrible, but
you know,
like,
but
just ridiculous. Like,
Kevin Lee Light told me, and I'll never...
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
He told me this in the last year. He said, you have oily skin. He said, it's a great thing.
That's a weird thing.
Was that a blessing of some kind?
Yeah, hey,
was
it,
he hitting
now,
you?
Now, he was definitely hitting. Now we know that he was definitely hitting
yeah,
you because we did not know he was gay.
No, we didn't.
I never knew he was gay until recently.
He used to wear rainbow.
I didn't know.
I knew he was gay.
Yeah,
and
I didn't
give
know at all.
Dudes back massages all the time.
He
what straight guy does
they
that?
Were great.
And he would
dude,
whistle
you
at
can
me.
Pierce, you can piece together the pieces now, Rick. But did you know?
Wait a minute.
Then I did not know.
I knew about.
I knew
about four. I knew about 4 years ago. It was when I found
I
out.
Never
was
and you didn't tell anybody.
I didn't. I just thought everyone knew. I didn't. Like no one came
I
up to me.
I didn't know.
Like,
I didn't know. Here's how I was when I came here. I didn't know Boone was gay.
Yes,
till
Jesus
a year
is gay.
In.
You wait
you
a
didn't?
Minute. Hold,
no.
hold the phone.
I didn't know Boone was gay.
Boone
okay, so
wears
maybe
a fucking sign.
Maybe,
how did you not
yeah,
know?
It's possible that you just don't read the signs.
My gaydar is still developing.
Gaydar. He walks up and let me suck your dick.
Yeah.
That's a indication.
But he's
right
from Iowa. He thought he was just being nice.
Yeah.
And this is how you know
you got a bathtub at your house.
And people want to say the comedy store is much better now, and you can. This is how you can tell the comedy store is not that much better because we keep garbage. The comedy
don't,
store
don't
loves
you,
to keep the garbage that
don't
is
you dare.
Boone Shakalaka.
Boone Shakalaka.
The garbage that is
a masterpiece. All right.
Okay.
The other night, one of the managers here,
guys, that
was like,
definitely homeless,
hold on, let him
crazy
get his list
people
out
who don't do stand up, and you allow these people, and they're like, oh, they're part of the store, and like, no, they're not.
Dude, one of the managers.
No, they
the
are.
Night,
but if we want Dave Chappelle to hang here, we have to have the other extreme, which
yep,
is Boone. I mean, it's.
No,
it's
the
how the world
it
works.
Out.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, yeah. What
wait,
I want,
what
I want
to
is
say?
To drink at a bar where a homeless guy is trying to sell me a shirt or give me a shirt if I let him suck my dick.
Yep,
that's what
that's
I want at
deal.
A bar.
Or you, or if you have $3.
He so the other night, one of the managers was like, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" I'm like, "Oh shit, what did I say?" He goes, so, are you friends with Big Rod? And I was like, I mean,
which one's Big Rod?
Big Rod. He's the
guy
big
who used to
dude
sit in the back of the OR in the bucket seat,
and then
he would fall asleep and start snoring
oh, yeah,
during people's sets.
Yeah,
okay.
But this is a time when there would be no one in the
so
OR,
so you could hear him snoring.
So you could hear him snoring, and you spent your entire you would talk to the two people in the audience
yep,
about the guy snoring his set. And then he wouldn't wake up. And then he started. He also would go to Salad Ranch and fall asleep on the chair at Salad Ranch.
Yeah.
And
he
no
took
one
over L.A. Derealist's spot sleeping in the
what did
OR.
The manager say? Was
so
mad
he,
at him?
He wanted to know. He just he said that he didn't know why he was here. He goes, I just don't get it. He's like, we have people who aren't comics, like Pete C., who come here. And they're friendly with everyone, and they buy drinks, and they hang out, and they never steal a seat in any of the showrooms.
Yeah.
And no one has a problem
really
with them
is
being
good
here.
With that.
Yeah. He's like, then there's guys like him, Rod, who he tries to sneak food out of the kitchen.
Yeah, he'll go to the kitchen. The kitchen guy will give him food. The kitchen people will give him food.
Yeah.
Doesn't pay for anything.
Doesn't
pay
buy
for drinks.
It. Doesn't buy any drinks. Just like is in the way, blocking hallways.
I'm not
going
to say the name, but there's a certain person who comes here. He at least buys beer, and he comes here because he sells Coke to people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That was weird the way you
is
said that.
Is he fat
yes
or fast?
He's not actually fast
okay
in real life, but he buys drinks. So
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's like at least this guy buys drinks.
Yeah,
so
that's
like whatever.
That's the purpose. If this is yeah your dive bar, then buy drinks.
Yeah.
So, he confronted Rod about what he was doing because I guess a waitress or someone ran into him because he was blocking a doorway.
Oh my
doorway
god, that would never
he
happen
is a very
on my watch. By
so
the way,
for the 1,000 people that listen to this,
how
podcast,
dare
son
you
of a bitch, we have 40 to 50 people listening on repeat.
That's right.
Big Rod is a very large black man.
Why has it got to be a race thing?
He is, it's a description.
Oh, okay.
He is black. He's very big.
So racist.
He is very lazy. Now this is slowly becoming racist.
Yeah.
Okay.
He used to book Blind Date, the hit TV show with Roger Lodge. Oh, yeah. That's how Jeff Danish got on Blind Date.
Rod hooked him up right now.
Yeah. I think he also helped Adam find his Cadillac. Remember when Adam drove that red Cadillac?
Yeah. He lost it?
No, he was looking for a car.
Oh, buy it. I was like, what?
Like that's in his IMDb.
So far, you guys are defending this guy. No. I do not
I'm just giving you history.
The manager asked, because when he asked him what
he
did
there.
I didn't
realize he had that much history here.
He said, oh, man, I used to open mic with Ingram and Danish and O'Neill. I'm boys with those guys, which is a really risky endeavor to say Ingram, Danish, and O'Neill are your friends.
Like his pants, that was a stretch. Okay.
So I was like, no, he's not my friend. He's a dude I know. And then he was like, because that was who he used, and he said you guys did open mics together. And I go, oh, yeah, we did. He did open mics. He would go up. He would bomb for 3 minutes. And then he'd get off, and we'd be like, man, that was fucking terrible. And he'd be like, man, I'm a headliner in Europe, man. I can't do anything less than an hour. And we'd all be like, where can we pay to see you do an hour? I got to see these long-winded jokes that you can't get out in this tough 3 minutes of you up there bombing.
Oh, my God, did he really say that?
That was always his excuse. Man, I could headline all over Germany anytime I want. Be like, what are you, fucking Hasselhoff of comedy?
The guy we brought up, the Philly guy that we brought up earlier, he's the same way. He says he headlines all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's
one of those
the one that tells me about
giant like, mid-Atlantic.
You always run those guys when you really start at the open mics. Like,
yeah.
You know, that. You know, I just did 30 minutes in Long Beach. Like, bitch, you don't got three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when Eric Aligny showed up. We were standing in the back smoking, and he was back there, and he started, well, the way we do things in Tampa. And he like just kept going on about the way the comedy scene is ran in Tampa. And after like 10 minutes, Jeff Scott's like, no one gives a fuck about Tampa. Who gives a fuck about Tampa?
You wake up, Jeff Scott, you're doing something
wrong. We're all just like, oh, shit. Yeah, okay. And now I think they're friends, but it was just so funny to watch someone just.
How do they do it in Tampa? Well, what's different?
One of the main things they do there is we're all headliners in Tampa, every single one of us. We perform day in and day out at every coffee house and or Perkins restaurant.
Oh, my God. It's almost like
Are they a Perkins town?
I assume.
Okay.
What's Perkins? Is that
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Perkins might just be Midwest. Because you and I have some of the
Perkins is it's like a fancy Denny's with the biggest American flag you'll ever see.
Like a Village Inn.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Like,
that's
I've never heard of that one either, a Village Inn.
Okay. That's where
you guys are talking about flyover states.
Yeah.
Nobody stops.
Eleanor, that's where I took Jimmy Fallon and Barry Sobel when Sobel propositioned me.
Like, I know, like, me and Lucas, we have been to me.
That's where you took them. Yeah. What? Like, they didn't take you, you took them.
They said, take us to a late night eatery. We're in Lawrence, Kansas. We had three options. Burrito King, drive through, or you go to Perkins.
That.
And so I said, well, we can go to Perkins. It's kind of like IHOP or Denny's. They're like, let's do it. And next thing I know, I was the fucking side dish served up with the high stack.
That's right. Get your high stock.
But like me and Lucas have been to two different cities for a Royal
Rumble. He paused us.
Past 2 years, we went to see the
Royal
Rumble
fans
in San Antonio and in Philly. And so
Philly
have developed this tradition on each where we go and hit up an open mic in that city.
Okay.
And just go up and be like, hey, we're coming from LA, and you can immediately get on stage, which is great.
How are all the headliners they had there?
And it is god awful. Both mics were awful.
I disagree.
The
San Antonio, the Philly one was god awful. It was just a bunch of
junk
people.
Oh, it was great.
But the San Antonio was actually kind of funny because there was this guy. San Antonio.
Waved you off.
In San Antonio, there was a guy sitting in the front row who was clearly autistic.
He had an issue.
Extremely autistic.
Okay.
Much love. Much love.
And he was just sitting in the front row and just
He was laughing at every setup. He was clapping.
He was laughing, but he would clap way too long. So you're like, you try to tell another joke, and he's still clapping like this, and it's like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Dude, you don't put up with that shit.
You should have.
But literally,
You know what spectrum you're on. Now get out.
You should have been aborted.
Or if you
this is just not nice.
If you listen to the podcast,
This is Pentecostal
if you,
podcast.
If you are listening to this podcast and you have autism, do not ever sit in the front row of a comedy show.
Much love.
Sit in the back way. We don't have
do
to see
favor,
you.
Do me a favor. Follow
or if you sit in the front row, don't enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's all I want.
This guy was just like, he really was the kind of audience member you couldn't get mad at because he was just
really happy.
So we would all go on and, you know, and he loved it. And then Tony got on and Tony berated him.
Of course.
I swear, Tony reversed his autism. Like, the guy wasn't laughing at all at the end of
time. Hilarious. The Cure. Dude, we start calling Tony the Cure.
But it was so fun. We did this, the Ravenswood Lounge, I think it was called, in Philly. And it was like a...
It's across the street from Helium, isn't it?
Yeah, it was down the street.
Down the street. Yeah, I've done that one. I like that one.
You know,
it's like upstairs. And
Yeah.
I've done that.
And it had its own bar and stuff, and we all got on. But the thing is, we were like six dickheads from L.A. bumping all these comedians.
I love that. Love the fact that I can bump.
So like the first few, they gave them a love to, but like the last couple of us, they're like, fuck these guys.
Yeah,
I don't blame them. I would have done the same.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have been pissed in that scenario if I were them. But I also, when I lived in Kansas, knew that I wasn't shit. And so let the fucking masters do their thing.
You went to mics in Kansas?
Yeah, I did. I did Stanford and Sons every week, and then there was an open mic at I think it was called the Jazz House, at a bar in Lawrence, Kansas, and a couple little ones around Kansas City that would pop up for
Was
this before you moved to LA?
Yeah, this was back when I was still in college, and so that's what I would do on my nights because I didn't have anything else to do, and I didn't really have any friends other than drug dealers.
Nice. Were they fat or fast?
No, they were neither. They were skinny, slow drug dealers because I was a pothead.
But the research like you did the night Robin Williams came back, I heard like you knew his coke dealer.
His
name was Randy?
No, his coke dealer was the Todd.
The Todd.
Yeah, and I just know that from working the back door for so long and talking to Argus.
Such a frat guy name.
Asking
the Todd?
Argus. There's a picture of Robin and the Todd.
If I show
headshot
you that picture.
In the front hallway.
Yeah.
So one night Argus came in. I'm like, Argus, who the fuck is this guy with Robin Williams? He's like, oh, that's the Todd. He sold his cocaine from... And he had, like, the stats of the years. Like, Argus remembers specifically what month he started buying coke from that guy.
I worked with Todd here.
Yeah.
Todd was great.
And so I just was like, oh. And then he was like, he hung around Robin a lot, and he'd hang around Kinnison, I think.
Yeah. You know what happened when Maron did the podcast? He was talking about Todd as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Todd. He was talking about another guy who used to do a certain bit. And I was like, oh, Todd did that bit. He goes, no, Todd stole that bit. And I was like, oh my God. Like my whole
Todd
image
just did
of Todd
of
was
the
blown.
Comedy Store.
I was like, oh, fuck. And then I would bring up other bits. He's like, yeah.
No, that's so-and-so.
He stole
it. All
I was
of
like,
them.
Oh, shit. Like, because you don't, we're in it. So we know who does the shitty
stuff. Dude, where
stuff.
Was Rogan to call this guy out then?
Yeah, right? But the thing is now, like, don't you think that people come here and they're like, oh, this guy's great. This is my favorite comic. You're like, that guy's a fucking hack.
Yeah.
Don't you like ever want to lose it on commoners that just come in? I felt like I was the commoner who fell for Todd.
I hate like Simone. I really sympathize with because he always, is bringing these people to the club and giving them the tour and all this stuff. And when he's
too nice.
Not the tour.
He's giving them an actual tour. not the tour that she's taught me.
Well, pretty much this is the dark
pretty
room.
Pretty much.
This here's the dong room.
No cameras back here.
But yeah, I mean, like, I hate bringing, like, chaperoning people here.
Yeah, because then they say things to you, and you're just like, you get depleted, like, fuck.
The funniest story I heard was there was this guy who came in to the comedy store with Jesus, and he freaked out because he saw Vargas Mason, because he knew Vargas from, like, some... like Def Comedy Jam or something that Vargas was on. And he's like, oh, fuck, that's Vargas. What's up, man? I love your shit, blah, blah, blah. And then
Jesus
Vargas walked away and Jesus was like, just so you know, that guy's a laughing stock in the comedy community. He's nothing you should be happy to see.
Son of a bitch fired me.
I like Vargas, but
son
he
of a bitch
fire
fired
Rick.
He's out.
He fired you from this place?
He fired me from hosting him and Kathy's right, okay. show.
Well, they asked you to do it, and they should have known what they were getting. Yeah. That's on them.
Well, to their defense, Kathy was positive I was going to do all the dancing.
Did you ever hear that? She thought he was a fucking dancer.
Yeah, I seen you before. You go up there, you do all that dancing up there. I was like, I don't think you know who you're talking. Don't talk to the crowd. We don't like that. Then why do you ask me to host? Just go out there. You do all that dancing. Like, all right, I don't think this is going to work.
And then he got fired.
I got fired. I kept talking about how shitty the comics were.
Her car always smelled like cat pee.
I believe it.
Aww,
it's one of those that you always had to move because she could, she would try to park it herself. But
yeah.
And you'd always like plug your nose and go inside.
How do you know it was cat pee?
It just had this.
Cat pee is a specific smell.
I don't like
it. It smells like
near
the Great
cats,
Ones
so
jackets.
I don't know. You're fucking
Josh,
awful.
Did you know the Great One? Probably not.
Yeah.
Okay.
He drives trucks.
How did he get that name? It made no sense.
What do you mean?
He gave himself that name. That's how you get it.
Oh, wait, he gave it to himself?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought the O'Neill and I don't know. It just happened. I was like, the Great One? And then I just went with it. And no, I was like, the Great One.
And he looked just like Kanye West when Kanye West was hitting to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or so, Don Cheadle if he were homeless and living under a staircase. Great guy, though.
We are fucking brutal, man.
Do you guys have do you have social media you want to plug?
Oh, you have shows coming up too. Are both of you working with Pauly or just Josh?
Josh, you're on the road the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Where are you gonna be, brother?
Josh, I will be in Lexington, Kentucky with Pauly Shore, and at Lexington Comic Con as well. And then I'm in Seattle with Tony Hinchcliffe at the Parlor Live.
And if there's any autistic kids up there,
go see
please
Josh.
Sit front center. And Josh and sit right up front.
Have a good time.
You'll
love Josh, and then Tony will just cure you.
Josh Martin Comic is my name on the things.
MySpace, Friendster.
Me. I don't give a fuck.
He's so good with the internet, and he just says it wrong.
Yep. All right.
Just want to be rebellious. And I like
Lucas Hurl.
I'm at Lucas Hurl. That's where I post all my tour dates and whatnot. So
also, Lucas was the original producer of the Comedy Store podcast.
I was.
We were able to get one comic every year and a half to show up.
Saturday night in the old phone room.
Yeah.
We got D'Elia.
We got D'Elia
Bobby,
for about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that why he won't do it now? Because he did 8 minutes?
Yeah, that's when I
also, maybe it might be because Ingram talks shit about him.
What are you talking
all the time?
First
Ingram's
of all, we're best friends.
Guy. They're best friends.
Deals and I are best friends. I have offered to do roughly 30 sitcoms with him, to which he never responds. He doesn't even give me a no. I'll be like, I got this script. It's about you, me, my buddy Mark. It's called Faggot Dolphin, and he'll be like,
anything.
"Oh, I don't think that anyone's gonna buy a show called that." And I'll be like, "Dude, trust me, they want it."
Yeah, Faggot Dolphin, I can see it.
It's gonna be a great show. It's a family sitcom.
Dude, send it to Freeform.
It's not a bad idea. We'll see what we can do with it.
Are you on the road? Do you have dates?
Not that I can think of at the moment, but I'm sure I do.
You'll be at the Comedy Store, though.
I'll be at the Comedy Store tonight.
I'll be here
in about an hour, so make it down.
No, not
he knows
this
live.
This
is live radio.
We're almost up, man. We're good. We got this.
All right. Well, listen to the podcast, guys.
Thank you.
So,
you have podcasts too, though.
Nah.
Look,
whatever.
He thinks he's so fucking big.
He's so fucking big.
You know what? Fake it till you make it.
I'm not being fake.
Dr. Bustamante. It's on the Doctors Podcast Network.
Josh
Tim, Dr.
Mark.
Phil, Dr. Drew.
None of those guys are your real doctors.
No.
Josh.
Well,
Josh
is the most doctor.
Yeah. Josh has a science degree.
Do you have a podcast?
Dr. Drew's a real doctor.
Dude, don't defend your fellow doctors, okay?
You have a science degree?
Sorry, I don't know if I was supposed
We could have probably talked about this during the actual podcast.
Yeah, but it's not that interesting.
No, this
instead
is we
of Big Rod.
No, because
Big Rod instead of having any form of structure.
I've been here for 15 years, and Big Rod has been a part of it, bothering people that entire 15
Are
years.
Are you serious?
Forever.
I blocked shit out, so I don't know.
Still cast Blind Date?
No, he does.
Lucas is looking for work.
He does.
No, I'm looking for a date.
Blind Date was canceled, but he's still booking for him. So check him out. It's going to be Pauly, I believe, is producing it. Going to sell it to YouTube.
Yeah, they're on his IMDb. Blind Date, Booker, 2013, dash, and nothing after
present.
That. Present. It's still current.
Chicken finger eater, present. He always gives me the, yeah, I got diabetes, but my doctor said to keep my blood sugar around 250. I'm like, so horribly? To your heart is going to explode level all the time? Good plan.
I don't think his doctor likes him.
Yeah.
I'm just going
to say he's a doctor.
Yeah. There's no way
he's there's some people you see and you're like, oh, that guy has never seen
He's going to Dr. Josh Martin. He's giving him terrible advice to rid the world of his problem. Thanks for listening, guys. Rate us on all the important
subscribe,
things.
Subscribe, rate us. You know, let's get more listeners so we can shit on Josh.
Yeah, we need to really push Josh back.
Come on. Tell me how you really feel about it.
We love
honestly,
you.
Honestly, I don't give a fuck.
Josh, we supported you, and we're the reason why you're a paid regular.
I congratulated you, so I'm not on
you
that weird list.
You are not the
list.
Reason why I'm a paid regular. I did all the work, and you can all suck this dick.
All right, thanks for listening,
I've never
guys.
Been so nice.